You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Of course, like I said, every Wednesday we've got this feature that is called Entrepreneurship, a Small Business, and this is where we bring you some of the leading small business owners. And today we are talking to Neo Tukane about his business, Prickly Pear, and he will be sharing with us some lessons that he has learned along his entrepreneurial journey. And I believe we have now found Neo and is on the line. Good evening, sir.
How are you, leadership?
I'm doing well, my pastor. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate your time. How was your day?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I can't complain. God is good.
Yeah, that's nice. Pray tell, what did you get up to?
Sorry, sir.
What did you get up to, if you can pray tell?
Today I went to a meeting in town.
Yeah.
And from there I had to go to the church. There is a week of prayer that is going on.
Yeah.
So I spoke to the elder and came back, and then I was doing the preparations for the interview.
I'm sure.
I had to deliver some of the products that I sell here.
Yes. Okay. No, thank you so much. Seems like a really packed and productive day that you've had today. But thank you so much for joining us. I promise you, you've had a very busy day, so we're not going to take much of your time. But we've got this segment that is called, of course, Entrepreneurship Wednesday, and this is where we talk to people like yourselves. I suppose to inspire other young people as well that might be looking into getting into entrepreneurship, just to share a little bit about that. But I don't know how you respond to this question when people ask you, given that I do think that a lot of people do know you. But for people who might not know you, who is Neo Tukane?
Neo Tukane? Okay. Neo Tukane is a fan of Cycle of Wealth Club. He's an African man from all the way in KZN. I've been born and grown there. From there, I have roots in Lesotho again, in Kachasnek. Yes, been traveling over, and then I'm an author, they say, life coach and entrepreneur again. Indeed, I'm the man of no limitations.
Yeah.
I have those little papers in my life so far. First is computer science, philosophy of life, BA in theology.
So far,
I'm the last born from my family, where we are six in numbers, so I'm the last born. Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Do you enjoy being last born? Because there's benefits apparently to being last born.
Unfortunately, on my side, there were not much.
Yeah.
But then I did enjoy them. I did.
Yes.
But even though. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's this thing that, you know, firstborns, like some of us, you get the whoop, but lastborns, they just go through life without even a single whoop. So we're always like, how is it that lastborns get to enjoy life without the rot? Because some of us, we got the rot, like really, really bad.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So KZN and Lesotho, the two, it seems like it's two different worlds. What was that for you growing up in two different worlds?
It was really difficult, but then we had to learn in the process.
Yeah.
My father was in South Africa. Then my mom had to go in Lesotho.
Yeah.
So we had to come in SA. and then stay with my father, and then again went back to Lesotho. I think I will say on my side, I've grown on the way.
Yeah.
I've been in Lesotho almost half of my life, went to Lady Brand.
Yeah.
I think all my school I did it there. From there, I came back to Durban.
Yeah.
From Durban, and I went to Johannesburg. From Johannesburg, I came back to Durban.
Sure.
So I've always been on the way in Jay. But then, yeah, in the Lesotho, it's a free country,
yeah.
Whereby you need to think. If you can't think, you will be hungry.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then again, in SA, there are many opportunities.
Yes.
Rather than in the Lesotho. Lesotho, you have to create your own opportunity, then
yeah.
Work it up and people see it
yeah.
When you make it. In SA, anything is an opportunity here. As long as you can just think, anything is an opportunity. So it's a land of opportunities here.
Ah, fantastic. Would that be, I suppose, the driving force behind your business? So in other words, how did the business come about? And what exactly do you guys do at Prickly Pear?
I started selling a detox product.
Yeah.
And then I was in an industry whereby we were teaching people about health, how to eat good, how to read the labels,
yeah.
And all of that stuff. So till we get to whereby people wanted now the solution.
Yeah.
The one for detoxing and doing all other things, we had that one,
yeah.
The product we had. And then now we were talking about skin products, whereby people actually were saying something that you use on your skin actually is the same thing. If you can't eat it, then don't use it or don't apply it on. So people were saying, where can we find that? And then we had nowhere.
Yeah.
Up until then, we had to make researches and find out, okay, here is a solution. We
yeah.
can actually create our own, then supply.
Yeah.
So that's how the idea came about.
Sure. So if you can't eat it, don't apply it. What does that exactly mean?
Our skin.
Yeah.
Also, we know that it actually have pores.
Yeah.
So whatever that you apply on your skin, it will go inside.
Yes.
It means your skin eating that thing. So that is why we have things like skin cancer and other skin problem or disease that we have. It's because of the things that we are, cosmetics that we are using,
yes.
applying on our skin.
Yes.
So people were like, okay, now what can we use if you are saying this one is wrong and this one is wrong and this one is wrong? Because you can't, at the end of the day, identify a problem if you can't have
yeah.
a solution.
Yeah.
So to find ways on how to find that solution.
Ah, makes sense. Okay. And what type of products do you then have? Is it just for the skin or what's the range?
Okay. We have products that, like nowadays, we know that all fruits and veggies, they have what we call, they grow from GMO. Né? Now,
yeah.
we have what we call pesticides.
Yeah.
Now, back in the days, doctors used to say one apple a day can chase away a doctor.
Yes.
But now, since we have all these pesticides where they spray all these apples and what
yeah.
chemicals, say one apple a day brings you closer to your grave. So now things have changed. Now we are saying we know that we don't have solutions for people who say, I can't plant apples, so where can I get apples? So we are saying we have products that can clean those pesticides from fruit. And so that those products, we have them. If you have fruits or veggies that you have in your house, except the ones that you grow on your own garden, then those
yeah.
ones, we know they are good, so
yeah.
you don't need those products.
Yeah.
But the ones that you buy from the shop, you must know that they are not 100% pure. It's genetically modified.
Yeah.
The value is no longer 100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, just with that. And then I think those are other category of the product that we have and we sell.
Oh, I see. I see. Makes sense. Okay. And what makes your business then different from other similar businesses?
What I always say, leadership. I always say, understand your customers' goals. Your customers don't care about you. They don't care about your product or service.
Yeah.
They care about themselves, their dreams, their goals. What you need to do, you must understand their goals, their needs, and their deepest desires.
Yes.
So in order for your business to be different, you need to understand those things first.
Mm.
So what made us to be different is that we realized that in the food industry, there's a problem, and we need to come up with a solution.
Mm.
In the church, we have health messages, but now as we preach about health messages, we don't give solutions to people.
Mm.
You can't say Christ is the solution. No, you need to bring something again that will help people move away from all those things, junks they eat.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes us different. We show you the problem up until you acknowledge the problem, then we know that you will ask for help, then we help you.
So it's a solution to a problem. Why the name Prickly Pear?
Okay, the product that the this pear actually is found in Lesotho. It's what do you call this? It's a leaf that we are using actually to create this product.
Okay.
So we just named it after the product that we are using.
Okay, that makes sense.
We get it from
that leaf. Yeah, in Lesotho. Okay. And when did the business start?
I think now is about a year and 2 months. But the idea is very old.
Okay. So I suppose the driving force behind the business is to offer a healthier solution, basically. Am I getting that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I think now that we've got an idea of the business, let's talk about you then as the entrepreneur. Are you alone in the business or you've got partners? And also, what drives you as an entrepreneur?
I would say is from knowing my problems as an individual first. Because at the end of the day, it's all about solving your problems first, not other people's problem first. If you can solve your problems, you can make money. Crisis create opportunities. Even in the Bible, there is a story that I love of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. I think it's not food for stomach, it's food for thought. So there was a problem, and then he asked even the disciples, what do you have? So they kind of like, don't have anything. So he said, you got the crowd, but you don't have a product.
Yes.
So you lose. We have followers, the people that are following us, but you don't have a product to give to them. So I think I saw that I have so many followers. I have an audience. So why can't I do something about it? So I had to go around. Fortunately, God helped me, led me to someone who had 5 bread and 2 fish, three fishes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, hey, how do we break it about and then make sure that it can be supplied to the multitudes?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So using the following that you have and people that are following and then providing a service. I think that's a good way. You know, sometimes I think we are so consumed in getting a followership. But we're not doing anything around that followership. So great way to actually think about it. I'm actually thinking as I'm sitting here, what's the point of having followers if you have no product? You know, because that's exactly what it is. If you have followers, then you must have something that you're giving to them. Maybe that's why if you look at social media, people who've got millions and thousands of followers, they actually are bad influence because they don't actually have a product that is morally standing. So they do all these sorts of things that are wrong because they just have a followership and they don't really have a product. Yeah.
You know, you just touched something very important. I was telling the other guys in the show too about that you have 5,000 followers on Facebook. What you can offer there is to post naked pictures just to get likes.
Yes.
And comments. Yeah. That's how obsessed we are.
Sure.
Go somewhere and then talk to someone, go to business or whatever that they have, and then ask them, I advertise your product, you get clients, you give me 30% or 10%, other than posing yourself.
Exactly.
Things that won't be.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I love the point you made there, Mfundisi. Okay. Did you have to raise funding a year ago when you started the business? And if you did, how difficult was it to raise funding to start?
What I can say about that, I'll be honest, I started from nothing, you know, where you have to even, try to sell some of your stuff, né, in order to get some funds.
Yeah.
You talk to people that you think will help you. They will keep promising you things of the world. At the end of the day, they won't do it. Mm. Up until you start.
Mm.
Up until you start. And on the way, somebody will see that you are pushing, and then they will approach you. Man, what is this? And then you start making customers. Those customers becomes clients. As they become clients, they trust you. They say, no, you can buy the product before it comes to you, can deliver, so that when it comes, you deliver to us because we trust you. So that's how I had to build trust first from people, and then from people that I know and I've presented messages to them.
Yeah.
So still now, we are still looking for funds and partnership where we can make this become huge, buy big, make a production of 1,000 to 2,000 containers so that we can distribute from different countries or different provinces.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Do you remember your first client? And how did you even get that client? How was that entire experience? Because I'm sure, you know, when you start a business, you always have this thing, I wonder whether people will support me. But when you first get that person, it's almost like a validation that, okay, maybe I'm onto something here. What was your first client? Do you remember them?
Yes. My first client, I didn't even, you know, people that I trusted, you know, we have this tendency of expectations where you say, okay, there are people that I know, I have friends, or that will support you. At the end of the day, in business, you won't be supported by people that know.
Yeah.
Get support from strangers.
Yeah.
All of the people, stop posting things. You have posted them 100 times. Your friends have never commented. Why do you think they care about your thing? Go out there and find people. So my first customer, it was someone that I didn't know. We met in a taxi. So he saw my book. He saw my book. I was reading my book. And then she asked me about the book.
Mm.
And then, who are you? As we started to talk, she started to ask questions, being curious. So who is this person?
Mm.
And then I gave them the product. They paid right there and then gave me a feedback, actually. Gave me the feedback that this thing is very good. It's very good. I think I will need more.
Yeah.
And then she got a stock. I think it was about 10.
Sure.
And then from there, I got a customer in Lesotho again. I had to distribute. It was 10 Vaselines and 10 lotions again.
Yes.
So these people are far away, are far away.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Those ones that are around you, they are waiting for you to win. That's how life it is. They're waiting for you to win that they can come and support you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to blame them. You don't have to blame them. I felt so excited and it kept me going. It kept me going to find more people, to find clients. You talk.
Yeah.
You talk.
Yeah.
Talk more than your clothes. You know, our clothes talk on our silence. When you wear a jean of a Gucci, people will start looking at you in different way, you know. Even yourself, you got the confidence because your confidence comes from this clothes. So even your product as well, use it, feel it, show people that it is good in your skin, and then go there and tell them, sell it. You will see at the end of the day that two or three people who will take it serious.
Sure.
Because even Jesus says, one sinner is one sinner. One sinner
repents
is better than people who are not saved. It's not about quantity; it's about quality. That one person can change your business.
Yeah, it's not about quantity; it's about quality. How does this entrepreneurship journey affect your personal and family life? You seem like a busy person. You're an author, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business person, you still have other church things to also attend to. How does this fit into your typical day, and how does this affect your family life?
I think I see my mom and dad three times or twice in a year.
Sure.
In previous years, I couldn't manage even to be in a relationship for a long time because you know, ladies always seek time and then you don't have time.
Yeah.
Can't even have your own time.
Yeah.
I don't know when last I did celebrate my birthday.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'm always busy. Then I'm writing, I'm reading, I'm preparing for somewhere, I'm preparing something.
Yeah.
On the groups I'm needed to present. So it's just a mess. But I always say when you are your own boss, you get to a time where you are now not controlled by time, but you are controlling time. In other words, you are giving people time. They're no longer them who are giving their time, but you are the one with giving them your time. So I'm still in that process where I'm managing my time well to say, okay, there are some things that are important in my life. Not every invitation is a blessing, so I must decline some of them and then see what I can do in my personal space.
Sure. What time do you wake up? What time do you go to sleep?
I sleep around 11 to 12.
Yeah.
I work out late at night because at the end of the day, I work at night because there are some businesses that I do online at night.
Okay.
So I only sleep. I know this is going to sound crazy.
Yeah.
And even they won't tell me about my health.
Yeah.
I think I only sleep 4 hours.
Sure.
And I only sleep 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because at four, I'm already up. I read, I do a devotion.
Yeah.
From there, I write about 2 hours writing. And then at nine, I'm already, I took a shower. I'm already on my laptop planning for the day. From there, yes, up until 12. Then after 12, I can be available for anything. That maybe got something to do with meeting other people or what.
Yeah.
But before that, I'm always in the house doing my work.
Yeah. What motivates you? What keeps you motivated? I'm sure this journey, entrepreneurship, and balancing everything else can be quite daunting at times, and it does sound like it requires quite a lot from you. What keeps you motivated?
even this one will sound crazy. Death.
Death?
Yes.
Hey. Okay.
There was a quote I think I heard. It was 5 years back that says if you live each day as if it was your last, what would you do? So remembering that I will be dead soon is the most important.
I see.
Yeah, so it helped me to make big choices in life.
It makes
sense. I know that my time is limited, so I don't have to waste it in living someone's life or being trapped by dogma, which is living by other people's thinking.
Yes.
I just do what I have to do. That needs to be done now. I do it, and then I know when after the end of the day. My question is, how was your day? If I can't tell how was my day, then it's a problem.
Then it's a problem. Okay, that makes sense. Now, when you look at your journey then so far, over a year ago, having started the business, the time pressures and everything, were your expectations of the business the same as you are sitting now a year later, or business is just some different beast altogether?
What I would say, you know, when you start, you always expect like what we said.
Yeah.
We don't want to risk because we are afraid to fail.
Yes.
You know, so we don't want to even try. What I've realized that to succeed in business, you must take risks. Even if you fail, that's how you learn. You know, there has never been and will never be someone who did not fall or who did not fail when they start trying something new. So we had those expectations whereby you will plan, okay, maybe after 3 months or after 6 months or after a year, this would be happening. But as time goes on, you see, okay, actually, I was no longer focusing on producing the quality.
Yes.
I was now producing the expectation, which made me to neglect most of the important things.
Yeah, true.
So I think I just told myself, good, okay, even though I did not reach where I wanted to be, but I'm keeping it one step at a time, And as I'm building myself up, I've realized, good, okay, number one, I'm going to face my problems, learn from my failures. There is this thing where we seek approval from other people. What I can say to others, don't seek approval of others. You know, when you live for other people's opinion, you are dead. Dead. There will be people who will tell you, hey, you know, if you can do this, if you can do this, if you can. But they are not doing it.
Yeah.
So why would you do it where now? So just trust the process. You know the plan. You have your plan. If it does not work, don't change the goal.
Yeah.
Change the plan.
Yeah.
The
goal. I love that. If you live for other people's opinions, then you are certainly dead, or other people's approval. I love that. That's really amazing. Now, as we draw to an end, if you were to start all over your business and maybe even your journey on this entrepreneurship, what would you do differently?
Don't take too much advice. Just try things.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, most people have a lot of advices to give, with a few exceptions.
Yeah.
Generally, whatever they did, it did not work.
Yeah.
So I'm always someone who got his thinking model in his hand every time. So if I face problems, I think about them, and then I find solutions. Then either it's a product. money. Number two, never lose momentum.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you start something new, you have no momentum, you have no contacts, no track record.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling you, nothing is happening. And even no one knows you or they don't even believe in you. Because they have never done anything.
Yeah.
So if you can keep it going, keep it going. Slowly, as you are doing that, you are creating habits that are building momentum. At the end of the day, that habit, they become a lifestyle.
Yes. You know,
they make that character where even if you don't want to do it, it pushes you that, you know what, you see.
Sure, that makes sense. And, I love that.
From there, I can say, seek out mentors.
Yeah.
That are going down the same path that you are into. Your network is your net worth.
Yes.
Stop being with people who don't add value in your life.
Yeah.
Make sure that people who are around you, they motivate you, they elevate you, they cultivate you. Even if you feel stubborn, even what you are doing doesn't feel quite good, but if those people are there, they will always show you that there is still a chance for you to survive.
Okay, that's really amazing. Where's the business in the next 5 to 10 years?
I'll be distributing in all provinces and even out of the countries, because for now, I think there are 3 countries already that I've now have contact of where I will be distributing my product.
Oh, wow.
Maybe in Zimbabwe, maybe, or like I said, in Lesotho, and again in Botswana. So it's going to be great. I just can't wait. But by God's grace, I know we live, we move, we breathe through Jesus.
Through Jesus.
So in Jesus, we can do all things.
Sure.
Everything in Jesus is possible.
Ah, that's amazing. Where can people follow you, follow the brand, follow the company? How do they put an order if they're interested?
There's a number, of course, of what that we use. It's 073-833-9525.
Yeah.
And from there, they can follow me on Facebook. It's Neo Tukani. And then there's another one to call. It's 069 709-2712. 069-709-2712. Got even WhatsApp again. You can send me a text there, then I will be able to get back to you.
Lovely. Thank you, Murute, and we wish you all the best even in your entrepreneurial journey. I think you are an example of the fact that we can reach different heights and we can stretch ourselves to achieve more than just one thing. But seeing you as an author, pastor, scientist, you know, with computer and all, doing all these things, I'm sure as you run your business, they all come together to help you achieve the goals that you have. But thank you so much for sharing with us this evening, and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you so much, leadership, for the opportunity, my Lord. May God bless you.
God bless you too. That was, of course, Umfundisi Neo Tukani talking to us this evening about his business, that multifacetedness, you know, that God has called us to, not being comfortable with just doing one thing, but doing a whole lot more so that you can stretch yourself. It's a beautiful one.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.